amazed in your presence. There is joy, peace, and hope. I'm going to sing it again. Stand amazed in your presence. Yes, Lord. But there is nothing you cannot do. Hallelujah. I stand amazed. Stand amazed in your presence. There is joy, peace, and hope. There's no one like you, Jesus. There's no one like you. You, oh Jesus, there's no one like you. You do mighty things, you do glorious things. You're a faithful God, awesome is your name. Yes, Lord, you do mighty things, you do glorious things. You're a faithful God, awesome is your name. Sing with me to the top. I stand up.
Praise the Lord. Amen. God is good. Hallelujah. You may be seated. We're going to begin tonight with the blowing of the shofar. And this is the second day of Rosh Hashanah. We are thankful that God has called us to this appointed time. It's a time that God has set aside to visit his people. And as the word of God says, we must not miss the visitation of the Lord. I believe God is going to do great and greater things with each one of us as we pursue after him with a pure heart, believe in him. Let us have the blowing of the shofar. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Tonight, I'm going to start by reading a testimony of an event that happened in 1988 in the country of Armenia. It says, in the country of Armenia in 1988, Samuel and Daniel sent their young son, Amand, off to school. Samuel squatted before his son and looked him in the eye. "Have a good day at school, and remember, no matter what, I'll always be there for you." They hugged, and the boy ran off to school. Hours later, a powerful earthquake rocked the area. In the midst of the pandemonium, Samuel and Daniel tried to discover what happened to their son, but they couldn't get any information. The radio announced that there were thousands of casualties. Samuel then grabbed his coat and headed for the schoolyard. When he reached the area, what he saw brought tears to his eyes. A man's school was a pile of debris. Other parents were standing around crying. Samuel found the place where Amand's classroom used to be and began pulling a beam off the pile of rubble. He then grabbed a rock and put it to the side and then grabbed another one. One of the parents looking on asked, "What are you doing?" "Digging for my son," Samuel answered. The man then said, "You're just going to make things worse. The building is unstable. and try to pull Samuel away from his work. Samuel just kept working. As time wore on, one by one, the other parents left. Then a worker tried to pull Samuel away from the rubble. Samuel looked at him and said, "Won't you help me?" The worker left, and Samuel left, kept digging. All through the night and into the next day, Samuel continued digging. Parents placed flowers and pictures of their children on the ruins, but Samuel just kept working. He picked up a beam and pushed it out of the way when he heard a faint cry. "Help! Help!" Samuel listened, but didn't hear anything again. Then he heard a muffled voice, "Papa." Samuel began to dig furiously. Finally, he could see his son. "Come on out, son," he said with relief. "No," a man said. "Let the other kids come out first, because I know you will get me." Child after child emerged until finally, little Amand appeared. Samuel took him in his arms, and Amand said, "I told the other kids not to worry, because you told me that you'll always be there for me." For 14 children saved that day because one father was faithful. What a powerful story. That is the story of a man who gave his word to his son. We have a God who's giving us his word. And he says, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." Amand believed his father and told the other kids, "Be at peace. I have a word from my father." What father? The father that loves me, who told me, looked me in the eye and told me, "I got your back." That's the same father who's speaking to us, a heavenly father who looked us in the eye and said, "I give you my word. I got your back." And when you forget, in the midst of the issues that you're facing in life, "I will remember on your behalf my promise, because I know you're just human. Your frame is weak, but I am still God." Hallelujah. And tonight, as we've come here to just behold his face, we must remember what he said to us about these meetings. Say, "Remember me. Father, remember me." The shofar is blown at different times in the year. And certainly, one of those times is this time, the time of Rosh Hashanah. And yesterday, we embarked on a journey together reading from the book of Numbers, the 10th chapter, the 9th and the 10th verse. We'll catapult ourselves from that particular passage tonight, where the word of God says, "And if you go to war in your land, if you go to war in your land," because many times the enemy comes to our land. And what land is this? The word of God says to us, "The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein." Every land is God's land. And because I am an heir of the Father, every land is my land. Hallelujah. Please hear what I'm saying to you today. It matters not where you are today. You have a heritage in God. And when you plug yourself into God and recognize your place in God, you know that you are ordained and destined to operate in the establishment of God's word, which grants you supernatural victory in every situation. Somebody say, "I am victorious in Christ Jesus. I do not believe the lies of the enemy. This is my Father's land. I am an heir of my Father. Therefore, this land is my land." Somebody shout hallelujah. Don't hear that just in your head. Know it in your heart. I'm amazed at how children think. My children did it. My grandchildren are doing it. They've never bought a car. My children now, they've bought their cars, but then when they were babies, they didn't buy a car, they didn't buy a house, but they point to the car. You know, the house, you can understand, that's my house. But they go about trouting around saying, "That's my car." And I'm wondering, when did you buy it? They have a sense of ownership. And in this life that you and I live, we have to have a sense of ownership. Praise the Lord. I have to have a sense of ownership. This belongs to me because it belongs to my Father. And because it belongs to my Father, I have a portion. I have a portion. I have rights. And my rights are established in the authority of the Word of God. Hallelujah. So the Word of God says, if you go to war in your land, so it's your land, and the enemy comes to fight you in your land. It's not another person's land. It's my land. This is my property. This is my business. This is my family. And the enemy comes to fight you in that land. The Word of God says, when you go to war in your land against the enemy that oppresseth you in what belongs to you, then you shall blow an alarm. You shall sound an alarm. Blow the shofar with trumpets. And when you do that, as the shofar is being blown as it was blown tonight, in the Feast of Trumpets, Rosh Hashanah, God promises there's going to be a change. Hallelujah. He says, ye shall be remembered. I will remember you. You shall be remembered before the Lord your God, and ye shall be saved from your enemies. You'll be saved from your enemies because I remember you. And when I remember you, I remember that this belongs to you because I gave it to you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I gave to you salvation, and the enemy is coming to accuse you and condemn you. You say, no, I sound an alarm. Now, I may not have a chauffeur physically, but I have a mouth. Hallelujah. And from the depths of my being, I can cry out to God and declare the praise of my God. And God says, I remember. I remember you. How do you sound an alarm? Well, the shofar is an interesting instrument, but the shofar belonged to an animal that once upon a time lived. And in the day of the saints, in the Old Testament, it was gotten from the animal that was sacrificed. And so, we are able to sound an alarm also by our giving to God. Amen? When I don't have a physical shofar, or I can't blow one, I can bring a sacrifice. And my sacrifice, eulogia, begins to speak. And what is it speaking? It's saying, God, I am here. You know what the Word of God says in the Psalms? I believe it's in Psalm 50. It says, I don't need anything from you. I have all the animals in the mountains. If I were hungry for something, I'm not going to come asking you. I'm covered. But then it says, thank you. It says, if I were hungry, I would not tell thee. For the world is mine, and the fullness thereof. It's all mine. Will I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? Offer unto God thanksgiving and pay thy vows unto the Most High. Why? And call upon me in the day of trouble. Hallelujah. That's your alarm. God said, I don't need nothing from you. But I tell you what, when you cry out and I see what you have given, even though I don't need it, it becomes the cry. Hallelujah. In the day of trouble, it says, I will deliver thee, and thou shalt do what? Glorify me. It says, but unto the wicked, God said, what hast thou to do to declare my statutes? Why are you speaking my words? But thou shalt take my covenant in thy mouth. You don't have the right to it. You're wicked. Seeing thou hatest instruction, and casted my words behind thee. Forget that. Look at this. It says, when thou sawest a thief, then thou consentest with him and hast been a partaker with adulterers. Thou givest thy mouth to evil, and thy tongue frameth deceit. He says, you've given assent. You've come into alignment with a thief. Now, God doesn't use the word thief casually. In Malachi, he says, You've robbed me. You're a robber. In your tithes and your offerings. And that's why the windows of heaven are not open over your life. He says, check me out on this and see if I'm not going to open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. And that not enough. I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. Hallelujah. So I'll rebuke the devourer for your sake. I don't need nothing from you. But for your own good, you need to partner with me because your heart is focused on me. The word of the Lord to us in Matthew 6, it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness, and every other thing shall be added unto you. He says, I know what you need. You don't need to ask me before I respond, but you've got to partner with me. And in Rosh Hashanah, what we are doing is we are coming to God and we are saying, God, I repent for all of my foolish ways, and I join myself once again. Forgive me for all my sins. You see, from Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur, which is the Day of Atonement, the 10 days, these are the days of awe. These are the days that Jewish rabbinic leaders taught Jews that this is the time when you repent and you get into the good books of God, so to speak. That's what they're taught. And then God decides how your new year is going to be. Whether he goes like this or like this on you. Are you with me? Now, we know that Jesus Christ, our Lord, has taken care of that business on our behalf. Amen? Our righteousness is in Christ Jesus. He's paid the price. He has delivered us. He's redeemed us. He has healed us. He's been everything that will ever be. And we cannot live good enough to match up with him. So he gave us the gift of his righteousness. And he gave us not just the gift of righteousness, he gave us the new man, which already is created in righteousness and true holiness before God. Hallelujah. And so when we come to this time and we say, Lord, remember me. The remember me is not just about me. It's about what the Lord Jesus Christ said at the table of communion, every time you remember me. Remember me. And so we can come when we cry out to the Lord and say, Lord, remember me. Father, remember me. We can say, Father, remember your Son, Jesus Christ, that he paid the price for my deliverance, for my salvation. He paid the full price. He has taken care of it. So because of him, that's why he said, when you pray in my name, are you with me? In my name, not in your name, in my name. Hallelujah. Oh, but the Lord goes further. He says, but I want to move you from just praying in my name and bring you to the place where you can approach your Father directly, because he loves you just as much as he loves me. Oh, praise God. Praise God. Because of what the Lord God Almighty has already done. Hallelujah. Praise God. In Luke chapter 1, verse 68 and verse 72 in particular, Luke 1:68, the word of God is very explicit. It says here, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. He had raised up an horn of salvation. Because Jesus was the Lamb of God who taketh away the sins of the world. Hallelujah. As he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that he should be saved, that we should be saved from our enemies. Why? Because of the exalted horn. And from the hand of all that hate us. Part of what Jesus Christ, our Lord, came to do is to deliver us from our enemies and from those who hate us. You know, you can be hated for no reason. He says, I'm here for you to perform the mercy, to perform the mercy, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, to perform the mercy. Somebody say, Lord, perform your mercy in my life. Remember me as you remember your covenant. Hallelujah. This is a covenant and an oath which he swore to our father Abraham, that he will grant unto us, that we being, present tense continuous, we being delivered out of the hand of our enemies might serve him without fear. God wants us to be delivered from the hand of our enemies so that we can serve him without fear. In holiness and righteousness, before him all the days of our life. Somebody say, I'm saved. Therefore, I will serve the Lord, my God, without fear. If God's word says that it is possible for us to be in fear in serving him, then it's an issue. Or God would not say that. But God wants us to come boldly without fear. You must never be afraid of God in the sense of fear that causes you to run away from God. The only fear that you must have, for the word of God says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's a reverence for God. How do you reverence God? By believing God. Hallelujah. The true fear of God is you believe in God, knowing that he's so amazing that your fear is that you not be without God in your life. That makes sense? I don't want to be without God. That's the fear of God that God wants you to have. And if you don't want to be without God, then you're going to practice the love of God. You're going to extend mercy to other people. You're not going to embrace bitterness and strife and every form of ugliness, but rather you walk with each other in the love of God. Because you understand that if you are not walking in the love of God, your prayers are not going to be answered. Hello? If you are in strife and in bitterness and in unforgiveness, God cannot forgive you, which means that you are still in your sin. And God's word says, it is not that my hands are short or that my eyes cannot see, that I'm blind. It is your sin that's kept you away from me. So there's a lot of things God wants to do that he cannot do, because there's no operation of love working in us. And the word of God says, faith worketh by love. What love? You, first of all, knowing that God loves you. I am loved of God. And if God loves me, then it doesn't matter who is hating me. It doesn't matter who is planning against me, who is trying to hinder me, who is lying on me. God loves me, and no matter where you put me, I will prosper and I will flourish there, because my life is not dependent on a place or a person, but God. For in him we live and move and have our being. Amen? So from that position of authority, you knowing that God loves you and you also love God, and your capacity to love God is not based on, I'm going to try to love God. God has already shed abroad in your heart. He's giving you what you need. Hallelujah. But what he's giving to you is not just for him, because his word says, how can you say that you love me, God, when you don't love your brother? Are you ready for this? Don't let anybody bring you to a place where you are embittered, because you are given power and authority to that person to block your life. If you carry an unforgiveness, you're blocking yourself. You're giving the devil rights to operate around you. But the word of God continues. He says in verse 76, he says, and thou, child, shall be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins. Watch this statement, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins. What does that tell me? If the sins are not remitted, they don't come into a full knowledge of who God is. As long as you have the consciousness of sin, you don't get to know God. And so the first thing is to remember the covenant of God that says, I will forgive you. I have forgiven you. No matter where you, how messed up your life is, God has forgiven me. I receive the love of God for my life. And from this day on, I'm going to walk in the newness of life. That opens your heaven. Amen? Through the tender mercies of our God. That's how. Through the tender mercies of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath what? Visited us. We've had a visitation to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. This is what God wants to do in your life and in my life. And when we say, God, remember me, we are also remembering the fact that he's already solved the sin problem. Hallelujah. He's already solved the problem of unworthiness. He's already solved the problem of me not righteous or qualified, because he made that decision in himself. And anybody who receives the love of God gets translated into the kingdom of his dear son. It is not based on a long process. It is instantaneous. Do you remember the thief at the cross? In Luke 23 and verse 42, in Luke 23 and verse 42, that thief at the cross said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus responded to him, verily, I say unto thee, today. Someone say today. Say it again, today. Say it one more time, today. Today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Today. This was a statement that was made by the Lord Jesus Christ to a man who cried out, remember me. And I believe that the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, is still doing the same thing for his people today. People who say, Lord, remember me. He says to them, today, you're going to be with me in paradise. I'm going to change your story in the twinkling of an eye. Who will say today to the Lord, Father, remember me? In Psalm 105, and verse 8. We read these words. The Word of God says, he hath remembered his covenant forever. The word which he commanded to 1,000 generations. 1,000 generations. God remembers his covenant. You know the amazing thing about this covenant of the Lord? Is that when the Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross, he made us part of that covenant. You say, Pastor, how did he do that? When the Word of God said, when Jesus Christ died as the Lamb of Covenant, that you and I died with him. We became part of the covenant. So when God looks at his covenant, he sees the price fully paid. Well, watch this. Not only on the basis of the fact that Jesus died, but on the fact that judgment already came upon you when Jesus Christ died, because you died with him. Oh. And when he was buried, you got buried with him. What does with mean? Apart from? Together. So, 2,000 years ago, when the Lord Jesus Christ went on that cross, God saw me 2,000 years later being part of that. When he was buried, he saw me being part of that burial. When he went to hell, hello, I went to hell with him. Is that not where you're supposed to go if you don't follow God? But you already went, so double jeopardy. It doesn't work here. The price has been paid already. I died with him. I was buried with him. And when he rose again from the dead, I rose with him. But when he rose again from the dead, he took the keys of the authority that the devil had over death and life. He took it. So when he took it, I in him, took it. So my life is no longer based on what the devil says, because the devil doesn't have a say on my life ever again. Amen. Hallelujah. So Lord, remember me is, Lord, remember I was in him. The price has been paid. Forgiveness has been dispatched. And Lord, you will not allow anything that goes forth out of your mouth to return back void. I am forgiven. I am redeemed. I am healed. Death has no power over me. And your word for 1,000 generations, and I'm still part of that 1,000 generations, hallelujah, shall not be forgotten. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Which covenant he made that covenant also with Abraham and his oath unto Isaac, and confirmed the same unto Jacob, generation to generation to generation, for a law, and to Israel for an everlasting covenant. And we, by the fact that we've been grafted into that great tribe of God, we've become spiritual Israel. Hallelujah. And God has blessed us with faithful Abraham. Praise God. We are part of this. Saying, unto thee will I give the land of Canaan, the lot of your inheritance. When did he say that? When they were but a few men in number. Yea, very few, and strangers in it. He said, I gave you this land. It's an oath, a commitment. Now, when Israel messed up, they were cast out of that land. But at the fullness of time, Israel came back to its land. Hallelujah. Nobody else has done it. The Romans of today were not the Romans at the time of Jesus. There's not any group of people that are still the same as they were. But the Jews are still the Jews today. And they're back in the land that God promised them. Because God keeps his word. Praise God. God cannot lie. Someone say, God cannot lie. I am blessed and highly favored of the Lord. I am head and not tail, above only and never beneath. My life has been transformed because of the goodness of God towards me. Somebody shout hallelujah. In Psalm 103 and verse 13. Psalm 103 and verse 13. The word of God says, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. And therefore, he says, I got to deal with them gingerly. This is fragile goods. I'm going to protect this. He says, as for man, his days are as grass, as a flower in the field, so he flourishes. One quick swoop, they are gone. But I made a covenant, and my covenant is going to be upheld with these ones. Somebody say, Lord, remember me. In Samuel 119, in verse 49, Psalm 119 and verse 49, Psalm 119 and verse 49, hear the word of the Lord. It says, remember the word unto thy servant. Is God giving you a word? He says, remember the word that you gave to me. Remember the words that you gave to us. Remember the word that you gave to my family. Remember the word that you decreed over my business. Remember the word that you gave concerning my health. He says, because he says, upon which thou hast caused me to hope. I've hoped on your word. Like that young boy, Amand, placed his hope on the word of his father. And because he had that word, was able to keep everybody else calm. Until his father dug through the debris of that earthquake and brought him out. And because he was so confident that his father says, I got your back, he said, let these other kids come out. I'm going to be okay. And you know what? As the royal priesthood of God does the same thing that we do. When the people of Israel crossed over the Jordan to the promised land, the Bible says the priests were to go into the water, and when they got into the water, the land parted, the waters parted, and everybody crossed. Then they crossed. Why? Because they knew that God had their back. Amen? Do you know that tonight? What promises has God given to you? He says, remember the word unto thy servant. You said something to me. You said something to us as a church, as a people. This is my comfort in my affliction. For thy word hath quickened me. I see the circumstances around, but I know what I heard. There are times I'm going through a rough experience. And I'll come to the Father and I say, Father, you remember that day on September the 5th, 1976, while I was leading the Negro spiritual and the choir, and you called my name and you said, Michael, today your father is going to give you up to the work of the ministry, and I don't want to hear any more excuses from you. Do you remember that, Father? You remember that? I didn't speak my name. You called my name. You said, my father is going to give me up to the work of the ministry. My father, that I never told that you were calling me to the ministry, comes up and hands me over to you. On the offering plate. Remember? Okay. We're in this. What are you going to do about this now? Remember. Because I remember what you said. And when you cause God to look at your situation, he steps in and begins to order your steps aright. God, remember? I was in California and you picked me up by your spirit and you brought me into Winnipeg. I didn't know the place. Never been there. All I knew was I didn't want to have anything to do with Canada because there are igloos there. Well, that's what I said. It's cold. In California, California was even cold for me because Mama Ethel, she rests in peace. Hotel. I used to stand by their furnace. I will turn up their furnace and hang around the furnace to stay warm. They will turn it down, I will turn it up. I had a space heater in my room that was blasting all the time in California. And God is telling me, go to Canada? We're not doing that. So I got here in Canada, and immigration is giving me problems. Messing me up. Giving me a runaround. Say, God, you said Canada, right? And you're causing us problems here. What are you going to do about it? Remember? I didn't bring me here. You brought me. God will talk with you. He says, come, let us reason together. Is that what Israel says? Let's talk. And when they finally told us, this next week, you come here, you don't have all this amount of money, we're kicking you out. Mama and I were on Dufferin Avenue, Suite 9, 285 Dufferin, on our knees. And we hear the voice of the Lord. The Lord says, tomorrow when you go to the immigration office, ask me to see the manager. I said, well, what are you saying? He said, ask me to see the manager. I said, Lord, tomorrow when we go to the immigration office, let us see the manager. I didn't even know immigration had managers. I was clueless until the next day. The long story short, it wasn't one of the workers. The manager was the one who took our file. And he didn't know how to fill the form anymore. We used to bring $200 or $1,000 and they'd give us a week until they were fed up with us. Because every other week we were at the immigration office. But God brought me here. But I was still having problems in the land that God had given to me. I was having a fight. But that day, it changed. Because the guy filled out the form and we were heading out. They didn't ask us for any money. And he said, by the way, how much do you have in the bank? I said, we don't have any money. He said, no. I'm not asking you about how much you have here, how much do you have at home or in the bank. But I said, we don't have any money. What do you mean you don't have any money? I said, we don't have any money. And true to the fact, we had zero. Zero. No money. He says, okay, I'm going to give you 6 months. And in 6 months' time, if you come here without money, I will personally take you to the airport and deport you. I say, okay. We had 1,000, 2 weeks. 500, a week. We have zero, 6 months. 6 months was too long. God changed the whole story. Within 6 months, our story changed. And I'm still here. Hallelujah. Some say, I'm still here. Devil, you thought you could mess me up, but I'm still here. Hallelujah. I'm still here. Praise God. From $0, Yeah. Still here. Because God is still God. He gave us a word. When you have a word from God, you can hope on it. If you don't have a word, ask Him to give you a word. Amen? What do you want from me? Why am I in this situation? Why is my business like this? Why is my family like this? What's going on? And God will let you know what's going on, because He causes all things to work together for your good. Hallelujah. He causes all things to work together for your good. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now let me begin to wrap. Come with me to Isaiah chapter 49. And then we're going to spend some time praying. We're going to continue. Tomorrow morning and tomorrow night is our last time for this particular segment. And tomorrow night we'll start tonight. We'll give you the report for the next set of meetings so you can begin to plan on it. Isaiah chapter 49, verse 14. He says, "But Zion said, 'The Lord had forsaken me, and my Lord had forgotten me.'" Have you ever been in a situation like that? It looks like you're in a no man's land. And nothing is working. Absolutely nothing is working. You think then, yeah, God has forgotten me. But God says, "Can a woman forget her suckling child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee." In other words, God is saying, listen, you're accusing me of something that I'm not doing. You're thinking I've forsaken you because of the circumstances around you, but I have not. Amen? He says, "Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands." In other words, God is saying, actually, what God is saying is, "I have tattooed you on the palms of my hands, and thy walls are continually before me." These are walls of protection. It says, "I made a decree, and I'm watching over you. There's a wall around you. There's a hedge around you, and I'm watching it. They are continually before me. And nothing is going to breach these walls." So let me tell you, you're saying, "Have you forsaken?" So I tell you what's going to happen. "Thy children shall make haste. Thy destroyers and they that made waste of thee shall go forth of thee." I'm going to send all of those people that are messing with you, I'm going to fire them out of your life. Amen? Somebody say, "Destroyers of my destiny, you are fired." Glory be to God. Anything challenging God's destiny for your life, fired. Hallelujah. Say it again. You are fired. Get out of my life. I have nothing to learn from you. Poverty, you are fired. Sickness and disease, you are fired. Everything contrary to God's will for my life, fired in Jesus' name. Amen. He says, your children are going to make haste. In other words, things are going to start happening for you now. Because part of the reason why you're saying that you're forsaken is you feel depleted. He says, but I'm bringing your children. He says, lift up thine eyes round about, and behold, all these gather themselves together and come to thee. As I live, saith the Lord, thou shalt clothe thee with them all as with an ornament, and bind them on thee as a bride doeth. For thy waste, and thy desolate places, and the land of thy destruction shall even now be too narrow by reason of the inhabitants. In other words, God is saying, you see this place that seems so desolate and nothing is happening? It's going to be so packed that it's going to be too tight. Hallelujah. And they that swallowed thee up shall be far away. Whoever was swallowing up, swallowing whatever resources and blessings I have for you, I'm sending them away from you. Amen. Hallelujah. Someone say, whatever has been swallowing up that which God has blessed me with, you are fired. You are removed far away from my life in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Word of God says in Job, he says, that which it has swallowed, he says, it's going to force them to vomit it. The devil and his cohorts are going to have a real bad tummy ache. Hallelujah. And throw up everything that they have stolen. In Jesus' mighty name. Your destiny cannot be stolen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It says, the children which thou shalt have, after thou hast lost the other, shall say in thine ears, the place is too straight for me, it's too tight. Give place to me that I may dwell. In other words, release the blessing on me so I can move on to the other place and start something new. Hallelujah. Praise God. And it is because it is too tight. It is too tight. Too many people. So you start another branch and another branch and another branch and another branch and just send out because it's too tight. Will we as God's people remember this covenant promise of God to us and say, let it be unto me according to thy word? He says, then shalt thou say in thine heart, who had begotten me these? Seeing I've lost my children and I'm desolate, a captive, and removing toe and fro, and who had brought up these? Who brought these up? You know what God's word is saying? God is saying, I'm going to bring to you people that are mature, fully equipped, ready to go. This is not about you equipping anybody. They are equipped and ready to go. Who had brought these? Who brought them up? How did they know all this stuff that I'm teaching now and they're just riding with it? What Bible school did you go to? Who was pastoring you before now? And they've been going through the school of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. You see, the revival of the Lord that God is bringing to his body, it's not going to be a revival where we're trying to raise up little ones to occupy the space. But God has people already ready to go. Hallelujah. Praise God. Ready to go. They've gone through the life experience that is in God. Somebody shout hallelujah. He says, behold, I was left alone. Left alone by whom? By others that you raised up. You did, you invested in them and they left. And it looks now like you don't have anybody. He says, but I'm bringing you people. I'm bringing you sons and daughters. Hallelujah. He says, behold, I was left alone. These, where had they been? Where did these ones come from? God is raising them up. Hallelujah. Sons and daughters. The other day I received a message from a different country. And this person says, will you be my spiritual father? I said, I don't know this guy. What do you mean be your spiritual father? I refuse to respond. I waited a few days. He sent another message. He said, I was getting ready to do something. He says, then I heard the Lord. The Lord said, I have given him to you. He said, then I knew. Ah, it doesn't matter whether you decide you go with my spiritual father or not. You're my spiritual father. God already told me. I said, look at me. And their sons and daughters claiming Mama and I as their spiritual parents. We've never met them. But someday, you know, we're going to start churches here. I'm saying, start what church? I don't know you. But you know what? It comes to a point when it's out of your hand. And the person says, God said, this is it. And so it is. Glory and peace, Cameroon. Glory and peace, Ghana. Glory and peace, Kenya. Glory and peace, Afghanistan. Everywhere. So, this is our name. Huh? Who gave you that name? The Lord said. How do you stop that? You can't stop it. He says, then shalt thou say in thine heart, who had begotten me these? He said, thus said the Lord God, behold, I will. Hallelujah. Some say, the Lord says, behold, I will. Lift up mine hand to the Gentiles and set up my standard to the people. And they shall bring thy sons in their arms, and thy daughters shall be carried upon their shoulders. Which people? Gentiles. Unbelievers, pagans, people who don't believe God, they will bring, here. Take the child. God wants to do things that we cannot fathom in our natural mind. Hallelujah. So we say, Lord, remember me. Remember your covenant. We have hoped in your word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He says, and kings shall be thy nursing fathers. Those are people of means. And their queens, thy nursing mothers. They shall bow down to thee with their face toward the earth and lick up the dust of thy feet, and thou shalt know that I am the Lord, for they shall not be ashamed. They shall not be ashamed. They shall not be ashamed that wait for me. If we believe God and we wait on God, God says, I'll show you something. You thinking I forsook you? Let me show you. what I'm doing. First of all, I'm going to get rid of your destroyers. Everyone that is in your midst, that is working works of destruction, I'm firing every single one of them. Hallelujah. If they swallow and stop, I'm firing them. I'm moving them out of the way. It lines up with the word of God, except the strong man be bound first. You cannot spoil his house. And sometimes when we think, oh, where did this person go? Where did that person go? It's God firing somebody. So get out. Get out. Get out. Because I'm going to do what I'm going to do now, and you're not going to mess with it. Hallelujah. Are you ready? Praise the Lord. Well, I'm going to stop there tonight. But before we go any further, there are prophetic declarations the Lord has given to us. And we're going to stand together, and we're going to declare those declarations tonight, as we did last night. And then I'm going to engage one of my spiritual sons tonight. He's going to come and he's going to pray with you. And then Mama and I are going to link up together, and we're going to pray and trust God for the supernatural. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's have those declarations on the screen. Amen. Let's declare together. We're going to declare it as a present word for this year that we're stepping into. Because God told us already, as he mentioned to you, we've not engaged his word. And we're going to fight a good warfare with these declarations. Amen? I was intending on giving you something tomorrow, but I feel quickened that we'll start tonight handing out those declarations so you can use it as your point of prayer and declarations of faith. Amen? Hallelujah. Say with me, this year, this is my year of unprecedented favor, grace, and possibilities. The year of God's release, my year of transformation, my year of indisputable favor, my crossover year, the year of prophetic fulfillment, renewal, restoration, revival, and resurrection life. My year of ceasing to be the underdog. The year of supernatural fruitfulness and birthing. My year of manifested glory of God. Year of open doors. The year of the woman. Year of covenant establishment. Year of restoration and restructuring. Somebody shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. I remember, you may be seated for a moment, when there was the year of the underdog. Do you guys remember that? The year of the underdog. God saying, the underdog are going to start winning. And that's exactly what was happening. We saw it again and again and again. And then it was the World Cup, Soccer World Cup. And I think France was playing against the Czechs or something like that. Amen. And France, or rather, the Czech team was supposed to be the underdog. So I was expecting them to win, but France won. I said, Lord, what happened here? This doesn't line up with that. He said, because you're looking at it wrong. I said, what am I looking at wrong? He said, look at the team. And I looked at the team, and 100%, I believe it was, were all underdogs. They came from underdog countries. God was still keeping to his word. Hallelujah. And did you know that from that very moment, remember the word of the Lord to us, once it starts, it continues. Do you know how many underdog teams have been winning? Over and over and over and over and over and over again. God is just saying, huh? You're the underdog. I'm going to show them. They're too proud. bang, overthrow, 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 overthrow. Well, when they say that you're an underdog, celebrate, because God's saying, you are ahead. Hallelujah. You're winning. You are above. Hallelujah. Praise God. So I say, I am living the life of somebody walking in the fullness of breakthrough power. Amen. Say it again. I'm walking confidently under the unction and the anointing of breakthrough power. One more time. I have breakthrough power. I cannot be stopped. Amen. Praise God. Is my son, our son, Daniel on? Pastor Daniel? Oh, there he is. Praise God. Hallelujah. Can you hear me? We can't hear you. Unmute yourself. Or do we need to do it over at this end?
I can hear you. Can you hear me, Daddy?
Yes, I can hear you. Praise God. It's good to have you tonight. Hallelujah. Well, the Lord gave instruction that I should have others, sons and peers join us in ministering this Rosh Hashanah. And you are one of those, you know, and I'm inviting you to the next 3-5 minutes or so. I know it's quite late for you to pray as the Lord leads you, or give a prophetic word as the Lord leads you. And then Mama and I are going to take it up. Go ahead. We can't hear you. Why can't we hear him? Is a problem over at this end?
Is it better now, sir?
Okay, I just heard you now. Okay.
Fantastic. So one greetings to you, Daddy, from Ghana. We love you, sir. You and Mama, for all the great work. And the message was awesome. And so I'm going to go straight into what the Lord has for us today. And one greetings to the beautiful family of Glory and Peace Church International. We love you all. We're going to pray shortly, but whilst you are ministering, that the Lord ministered very strongly on my heart from Numbers chapter 10, verse 9, that you spoke on. And we're going to use that for a prophetic declaration and for prayers. And I want to read quickly, the verse says that, and if ye go to war in your land against the enemy that oppresses you, that struck something in my spirit.
If you go to war in your own land, in my own land, if I go to war in my own land against the enemy that oppressed me in my own land, that means that if the enemy comes to my land, it's a war. If the enemy attempts to oppress me, it is a war. If the enemy contend with my property, it is a war. If the enemy attacks my family, it is a war. And if the enemy attacks my health, it's a war. If he attacks my finances, then a war is declared. If the enemy attacks my marriage, it is a war. And if he attacks my ministry, it is a war.
Hallelujah.
It sounded very strong in my spirit. That is said, blow the trumpet. That means the only way we can be saved is when we blow this trumpet. The blowing of the trumpet brings deliverance, it brings salvation.
What a way.
And so in this brevity of time, we are going to blow the trumpet with our voices. One of the way we blow this trumpet is to lift up a voice of prayer, a strong cry unto God. But Father, the enemy has come to my land. It is a war. And we are rising on our feet in prayer shortly. We are saying, Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I cut off the enemy and the oppressor on my land. The enemy and all the oppressors on my land. Whatever the enemy may be found on my finances, part of my land, and it's a war. But tonight, in the name of the Lord Jesus, cut off that enemy from our land. From our land, the enemy will no more have his way. That enemy will have its victory. Our land, our rights now, like a man of war. And it's a miracle. It's the enemy going to contend with my children. Enemy going to contend with my marriage. It's the enemy going to contend with anything that belongs to me. Jesus, Father, I cut off the enemy of my land. I kicked off the enemy of my finances.
Thank you, Jesus.
Right now, in the name of the Lord Jesus, of stuff, of something, declare that the enemy will never have any word. In the Lord Jesus, somebody somewhere, I'm not a son of my boy. Lift up a fire, and the enemy will never come. It went on the land. Here's this cattle. There are Jesus. Fano Sadamahata. Here is cattle from my land. In the name of Jesus. Let's cut my family. Let's cut off of my children. I cut this enemy off.
Thank you, Lord.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Prayer number two, Lord. Church, we are praying. Just from the Lord is laid on my heart to pray for the entire church of peace, glory and peace church international, and the family and all the members connected. We are praying that political agenda, powers from above, that will torment and harass this church. That is, but in any seat of government, planning to harass any member of the church, that enemy off.
Amen.
In the name of the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
We want the church to arise in prayer one more time. Save this child from the land, from the church.
Yes, Lord.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen, Lord. Amen.
Prayer point 3 and 4, and then we handing over. We pray in the same order. Now in Nehemiah, Numbers chapter 10, verse 19, that we read. The people says, then ye shall blow the alarm with a trumpet. They said, ye shall be remembered before your call. We are praying. Father, in the name of Jesus, remember us for favor and for your blessing.
Amen.
Remember me for favor and for your blessing.
Amen.
Remember your church for favor and for your blessing.
Amen.
We are sounding their trumpets.
Yes.
We are blowing their alarm.
Yes.
God, remember us, O God.
Thank
and when the church will arise one more time in prayer, it's like my voice everywhere. Rise in prayer, that we come. Remember me one more time for favor. Remember me one more time for your blessing. In the name of the Lord Jesus, except when we sound the trumpet, the feast of trumpet, the Lord will remember us. This specific, same power, remember us forever, remember us to bless him. In the name of Jesus, for the remembrance of the youth in the months, in the years, and the heart. Thank you, mighty God.
Jesus.
And finally, the Lord has asked us to pray. I don't know who this religious specifically, but the Lord is asking us to pray that somebody in this meeting right now, you have a lot of pain in your heart, a lot of hurt, a lot of bitterness in your heart. It's growing and it's increasing. That the Lord is asking us, that will be the only thing that will stop your acceptance. And so we are going to pray that, Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, God, that I walk in total love and forgiveness, I release any bitterness and any hurt in my heart. I hold no grudges. I pray again. Father, in the name of Jesus, I declare that I walk in total forgiveness and love.
Pastor Daniel,
release any bitterness in my
heart. Daniel, just a moment.
Hold no grudges. In the name of Jesus, I don't.
Just so a moment, Pastor Daniel.
Pray your heart out. Relate any bitterness from your heart. Relate any bitterness.
Pastor Daniel.
You
can't hear me.
Relate any bitterness.
Can you hear me? Pastor Daniel. Pastor Daniel. Pastor Daniel. Just a moment. Pastor Daniel, just a moment. If you speak slower, we'll be able to hear you. It seems like the broadband is distorting your voice, but I notice when you speak slower, we can hear most of the things that you're saying. I know by the Spirit of God, whatever it is that you're praying, we're in agreement with it, and it's gone off in the realm of the Spirit. But we want to be able to join in agreement with understanding. So pray whatever it is that you're praying, just slow down your words a little bit so we can pick up everything that you're saying.
Right.
Okay.
That's right.
Good.
That's right. Thank you.
Go ahead.
Pray up with one that we prayed. We pray that, Father, in the name of Jesus, we cut off the enemy and the oppressor on my land.
Amen.
Pray up with two. We pray that, Father, in the name of Jesus, remember me for your blessing and favor.
Yes.
Prayer point three. Father, in the name of Jesus, I declare that I walk total forgiveness. Now, that prayer is important because the Lord told me right now that there's somebody in this meeting that you are hurting. Your heart is bleeding. You have accumulated so much pain. But in this feast of trumpet, the Lord is asking that release that pain.
Hallelujah.
Release that hurt.
In the name of Jesus.
Release that bitterness.
In the name of Jesus.
So we're praying that any bitterness of heart,
yes,
we are bearing together in prayer. That any bitterness of a heart, we are cleaning our hearts when we are walking in love.
Amen.
Because that is the only thing that is going to stand if between you and the grace of acceptance. So I want you to pray together shortly. Father, grant me the grace to walk in love.
Hallelujah.
I release bitterness.
Hallelujah.
I release deep pain in my heart.
Hallelujah.
In the name of the Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
In the brevity of time that we have, church, go to pray. Father, I release any bitterness in my heart.
In the name of
I release
Jesus.
Any pain in my heart.
In the name of
the
Jesus.
Name of the Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Any pain, anybody that have hurt me in any place, anywhere. Father, tonight, and this rampant, I declare that I release any bitterness.
In the name of Jesus.
Release any hurt.
Oh, yes, Lord.
Release any unforgiveness.
Oh, hallelujah.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
I hold no grudges. Bear no pain.
Hallelujah.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
As I lay this meeting, I declare that I lay behind all pain, all bitterness of heart. And release it in the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
And I declare that the love of God is working in my heart.
Amen.
The love of God is operating in my heart.
Amen.
From today, I walk by faith that the love of God,
amen,
is at work in me.
Amen.
It's at work in me.
Hallelujah.
And the bitter heart is healed. And the troubled heart is healed.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Bitterness is gone. Bitterness is gone. Bitterness is gone.
Amen.
Whatever that is making you bitter, it might be justified, but the Lord is asking me to tell you in this conference right now, release that bitterness.
Yes.
Release that young man.
In the name
release
of Jesus.
That young woman.
Yes.
Release that old man. Whatever hurts you, release. Release him now.
Yes.
In the name of our Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Father. And it is done. In the name of Jesus.
Yes.
Now, Daddy, as we are praying, I felt in my spirit that either last week or this week, it was almost as if somebody was removing his wedding ring. Felt like saying, I've had enough. It's over. The Lord is asking me to tell that person, live on a while. That spirit of bitterness is gone.
Amen.
The love of God is taking over our home right now.
Amen.
In the name of the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Peace of our Lord Jesus Christ beginning to reign in our home.
Amen.
Command joy to be at work one more time.
Amen.
I command love to operate one more time.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus, that marriage is not going to collapse.
In Jesus'
name. The hand
of
God is upon it now.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And so shall it be.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Can't you receive that prayer? Shout a big amen to the Lord.
Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so very much, son, you know, for praying so powerfully. The first two, we did not hear everything that you were praying, but in the realm of the Spirit, it was cutting through. So we are thankful to the Lord, for His grace is sufficient. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Well,
amen.
It is war. Amen. It is war. And this war shall be won by us. Hallelujah. The victory is ours. Praise the Lord. The things that feel that we still need to do, but we're going to move it up. There's no limit in God. All we're going to say at this moment is that the victory is ours. God is fighting for us. Amen. And what I'm going to do right now is I'm going to ask you to join me in reading Psalm 35. Psalm 35. We're just going to read a few verses, but when you get home, you read some more. Amen. I want you to know we really, really appreciate you, son. Thank God for you and the glorious things that he's doing and bringing to pass in your life. Hallelujah. We're going to read this psalm because we are sending it forth ahead of us. Hallelujah. And then we're going to come back to it. I'm sure the Lord will bring me back to it. But for right now, let's just send the word of God as an evil-seeking missile to demolish and destroy the presence of evil in whatever form it has taken. Hallelujah. Rise with me. And declare the words together. Let's read it together out loud. Plead my cause, O Lord, with them that strive with me. Fight against them that fight against me. Take hold of shield and buckler and stand up for mine help. Draw out also the spear and stop the way against them that persecute me. Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. Stop. Say, I hear you, Lord. I hear you loud and clear. You have declared that you are my salvation. I receive you as my salvation. Amen. Verse 4. Let them be confounded and put to shame that seek after my soul. Let them be turned back and brought to confusion that devise my hurt. Let them be as chaff before the wind, and let the angel of the Lord chase them. Let their way be dark and slippery, and let the angel of the Lord persecute them. For without cause they have hid for me their net in a pit, which without cause they have digged for my soul. Let the destruction come upon him at unawares, and let his net that he had hid catch himself. Into that very destruction let him fall, and my soul shall be joyful in the Lord. It shall rejoice in his salvation. All my bones shall say, Lord, who is like unto thee, which delivers the poor from him that is too strong for him? Yea, the poor and the needy from him that spoileth him. False witnesses did rise up. They laid to my charge things that I knew not. They rewarded me evil for good to the spoiling of my soul. But as for me, when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth. I humbled my soul with fasting. My prayer returned unto my own bosom. I behaved myself as though he had been my friend or brother. I bowed down heavily as one that mourneth for his mother. But in my adversity, they rejoice and gather themselves together. Yea, the abjects gather themselves together against me, and I knew it not. They did tear me and seize not. With hypocritical mockers in feasts, they gnash upon me with their teeth. Lord, how long would I look on? Rescue my soul from their destructions, my darling from the lions. I will give thee thanks in the great congregation. I will praise thee among much people. Let not them that are my enemies wrongfully rejoice over me. Neither let them wink with the eye that hate me without a cause. For they speak not peace, but they devise deceitful matters against them that are quiet in the land. Yea, they opened their mouth wide against me and said, Aha, aha, our eye hath seen it. This thou hast seen, O Lord. Keep not silence. O Lord, be not far from me. Stir up thyself and awake to my judgment, even unto my cause, my God and my Lord. Judge me, O Lord, my God, according to thy righteousness, and let not them rejoice over me. Let them not say in their hearts, Ah, so we would have it. Let them have not say, We have swallowed him up. Let them be brought, be ashamed and brought to confusion together that rejoice at mine hurt. Let them be clothed with shame and dishonor that magnify themselves against me. Let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Yea, let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, which had pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. Somebody shout hallelujah. Somebody shout hallelujah. 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 And my tongue shall speak of thy righteousness and of thy praise all the day long. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Somebody say amen.
Amen.
That is the prayer, and we prayed it together. Amen. God is at war on your behalf. At this time, we're going to honor God with our giving. And the shofar is going to be blown as we declare from Numbers chapter 10 and verse 10. Numbers 10, 10. Amen? Praise the Lord. Numbers chapter 10 and verse 10. It says, also in the day of your gladness, in your solemn days, and in the beginnings of your months, ye shall blow with the trumpets over your what? Your burnt offerings. And over the sacrifices of your peace offerings. Why? That they may be to you for a memorial before your God. I am the Lord your God. That is the statement. I'm the Lord your God. And basically what that means is you will never have to be ashamed. You will never have to be afraid. I have your back. In blessing, I have blessed you. In multiplying, I have multiplied you. Even as the stars and as the sand on the seashore, so have I multiplied your seed. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let us release that special offering at this feast. And as the shofar is being blown, it is causing that which we are doing right now to be a memorial before God. Amen.
Hallelujah.
It's 2023 on the clock. And we're going to wrap this up with seven hallelujahs. It's the year 2023, and we're wrapping it up at 2023. God is saying, I remember you. Amen. Rise with me and let's shout seven hallelujahs. First one. Hallelujah! 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 Amen! 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 Be blessed and be highly favored. And now that you have stepped into 2024, praise God by the Spirit of God, you are in the years of gladness. It is perpetual. God remembers you and he calls you to rest. No more worries, just rest. Amen? Enjoy your life in God. God bless you. See you tomorrow morning. And those of you that... Oh, those on Zoom, let's say hello to the people on Zoom. Hallelujah. Awesome. We have Pastor Daniel, of course, and Shalom. We have Sister Helen Atwigio. Bless you. Hallelujah. This mic is not, the batteries.
I don't know why there's a problem with the mic.
It's not live.
All right, they probably will hear me when I stay close to you.
Okay.
Yeah, so.
You can stay on this side.
Shalom. You can hear me? Praise the Lord. God bless you, Pastor Daniel. Shalom.
Amen.